Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. It just feels different, man. Just feels different. And I can tell a couple reasons. One, you step outside. Once again, Jeffrey, you said it yesterday, right? You smell football. There's a little snap in the air. Mm-hmm. It's a little cooler all of a sudden.
Crisp.
God knows. You know, this is not some accident. I think it's just a coincidence that we got high school football, we got college football, we got the NFL bearing down upon us, and all of a sudden the weather's cooler? No, that's how it works. And so we got that going on. And then, look at you. You're wearing a snappy MUS shirt today.
Game day, baby.
You're in game day attire. How you feeling? Your nerves? How many years is this for you?
So this is my ninth season.
Is that your ninth season?
Yeah. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
Ninth
three, four,
season.
Five. Yeah, ninth season.
As the voice of the Owls.
Yeah. Ninth season, yeah.
Be as good as ever?
Probably worse.
Kids.
Also, like, you know, the longer you, the farther away you get from, like, the game, the more, like, you know, like, there's probably some stuff I do better, but yeah, I'd probably say worse.
Well, there you go. It's football.
Also my kid's birthday, so there's a lot going on.
Today?
Yes.
Today's
August the 22nd.
Today's the actual day.
Correct. We've already gotten...
There's no celebration today. You're going to be doing a football game.
Celebration is tomorrow, but she's got daycare celebration. We've already seen... They've got balloons in the room. There was an electric video of a bunch of two-year-olds jumping up and down with balloons.
Cake tomorrow?
Cupcakes today at school.
Oh, cupcakes today at
school.
And then
the big cake, I think, is tomorrow.
And the truth of the matter is, unlike last year, this is like she can really get excited about the cake.
Oh, she's already gotten excited.
You know? Yeah. So it's kind of, that's fun.
I put together like a one of those like plastic kitchen things on Tuesday night that took way too long.
I had boys, and you know, in the sexist world,
mm-hmm.
we don't train boys to.
Well, like they have grilling sets now. Like this is all new.
No,
like,
I know. Like we, I don't think we did ever have a kitchen though.
Because Mark said he had one that they just left here, and he's like, I should have just given it to you. I was like, yeah. As I was putting it together on Tuesday, I was like, yeah, I would have liked that.
We got a big show today. We got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. Remember that Substack he was talking about the other day, Jeffrey, there was a...
I believe it was a former Mavericks analytics guy.
Yeah, and he's written about the teams that are most likely in the next 10 years, I think it is, to win a title.
Yep.
Or multiple titles.
Yep.
And we learned from Chris, when we talked about this 2 days ago, that the Grizzlies, he ranked it, he released it in two parts.
Yep.
So the Grizzlies were not in the bottom 15, right?
Meaning
they were in the top 15, most
yes.
likely. Most. So top of the head. Okay, rattle off right now some teams that you think more will be ahead of the Grizzlies.
I think you got to say the Thunder, obviously.
Yeah.
I
don't know the answer to this, but I've scrolled a little bit on it, so I have some sense. I do know what number they are.
I bet they have the Spurs ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they would probably have the Cavs ahead. I bet they would also...
T-Wolves, Lakers?
That my gut says that. And I think you probably just have to say with
Denver.
Denver. The question is like...
What are we up to? I'm not verifying that these are accurate. That you're down to...
I think
any in the East?
So we said Cleveland.
Cleveland.
I bet Boston and New York.
So you think, you're now at a 10?
Yeah, I think they're going to be, my gut would say around like 12.
Gut would say 12. Yeah. I will tell you this. Your gut is not as optimistic as the actual ranking.
Okay, there you go.
So we'll talk to Chris. We'll do that straight up at 10 o'clock. And then it is my great, great pleasure to announce that it's back. Jeffrey's Bets on Friday. That's exactly right. Oh,
how a very small
now,
card.
It's a, it is, well, and we've said, let's be honest. So how many years, it's 9 years of MUS football.
Yep.
How many years have you produced this show?
So I started November. So basically we're going on, it'll be 10.
This will be the 10th football season?
Correct.
Is that true?
So I came in on in November. My first day was the day before the election in 2016.
Okay, but you got to do the math for me then. What football season?
So it's my ninth football season. This will be my 10th season doing football games with you. But we didn't. I don't think we started the bets.
So you think it's also your ninth?
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And I haven't kept close track, but my impression was, for every year, you made money.
Yes,
for the people.
Correct.
And then the last 2 years.
Correct. No. But we're not here to talk about the past.
Fatherhood.
We're not here to talk about the past.
We're not. You didn't.
Sounded a lot like my wife right now.
You didn't make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting back to making money for the people.
Correct.
By being more strategic. In other
Correct.
Words, there's two obligations here. One obligation is to cover the waterfront, talk about the games that interest people, et cetera. And that kind of runs counter to the other obligation, which is to make money for the people. And more importantly, for me, because today is the day mm-hmm. when I walked in here, I went to the bank, and I don't just go to the ATM and let them spit out whatever hundreds they want.
No, you go inside a Leaders Credit Union.
I go inside the Leaders Credit Union, the Arlington branch I went to, and I say, can I have the crispest, the newest, the freshest $100 bills that you have? And they said, oh, we happen to have a new order right here, just hot off the presses.
Crisp.
And so they gave me 10 crisp $100 bills. And earlier this morning, I walked into the studios with Jeffrey, and I said, Jeffrey, here you go. 1, 2, 3. Well, you know how to count to 10. So we got to 10.
Some of us.
And I said, Jeffrey, go forth and invest this money. I trust you to invest this money. And at the end of the year, I expect to get those 10 hundreds back a little dog-eared at that point because they will have done some heavy lifting for us. And then some other bills, hopefully hundreds, coming back as well. Because I don't know if you know this, Charles Fishman isn't even listening today because Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, is talking right now. And the guy has totally screwed up priorities, right? But the market is it's been a bad 5 days or 6 days or something, but the market is very high. Some would say it's overpriced. And so it's time for me to take my retirement and my investments and to shift it over to the Jeffrey Fund as opposed to the S&P 500. And so that's what I did this morning. I took the 10 crisp $100 bills and I put them in your palm. And so the new strategic era of Jeffrey's Bets is going to launch today. Is Farmageddon going to be on the card, or is that something we're
Farmageddon
just going
to Farmageddon is on the card.
It's on the card. Okay. So, God, it's an exciting day. It's an exciting day. In fact, it's so exciting, I want to play Believe It or Not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
After this year, there will never be another SEC team coming to play at the Liberty Bowl against the University of Memphis.
I'm going to say I don't believe that because never's a long time. There are still programs that are more open to the idea. Like Mississippi State. Well,
Mississippi State's on the schedule.
Yeah.
28-29, they get a home and home. Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So in order for that to be true, they would have to
cancel.
Abandon that game.
Yeah. I don't know what the conditions for canceling, but I also think never's a very long time.
Okay. But this obviously touches on the big news yesterday.
The 9-game schedule.
Which is that the SEC has gone to 9 games, 9-game schedule. And a couple things went into it. One is they did just add the strength of schedule component to the calculus that will be in front of the playoff selection committee. And the commissioner, Greg Sankey, said that was significant in terms of this decision. Also significant.
I think ESPN bumped up the offer.
They did.
Because originally, I think the offer was about $2.5 million per school.
And now it's 5 per school. So ESPN made it more worthwhile for the SEC to do it. Let's be honest. Coaches didn't want to do this.
No. Like,
coaches did not want to do this because they don't want to take another L. They figure they got a tough enough gauntlet as it is. And so why do they want to add a 9th game? And not only is there a 9th game, the SEC have a 9th game, they now will schedule a 10th game against a power conference opponent. And so that leaves only 2 games against other opponents. And let's be honest, and the reason I asked the thing that I did is that those 2 games, coaches will make sure, well, 2 things. You want to make sure you can win that game, win those games, and you want to make sure you can play them at home, right?
I would think that is the operating procedure. Although a lot of them have been more open to the idea of playing the bigger games and doing those as home and homes, but I would think this motivates
them. And again, it's not like Tennessee was parading in here to play at the Liberty Bowl anyway, right? And it has felt like it is a dwindling there because Memphis can beat you, you know. Memphis can beat you, and Memphis wants home and homes. And or some version of homes, 2-1, whatever.
2-1s.
Memphis wants a home game from the SEC. And so the SEC schools, and I get it, very little incentive to do that. And so it is, I think, going to be a dwindling phenomenon. And that is too bad for the University of Memphis. There's no question that is unfortunate for the University of Memphis. And the gap between you now just seeing these teams in the power conference, we're just going to play each other. And we'll have a playoff and we'll settle it that way. We'll make it. And let's be honest, I don't love this from the perspective of schools like Memphis, but as a fan of good football games.
Oh, I think if you're an SEC fan,
you got to like it.
You have to like this. I mean, yeah. I guess there's some people out there going, well, that's one
but
more
if you're
chance.
Just a college football fan. Like,
we need more of these games and fewer of
right,
the
fewer crap games.
Yes.
So there's a couple of things to love about this. One is you've got more good games, right? More good games and more good games would seem to be good. I mean, how many times is it, even as we go through Jeffrey's bets, that a lot of these games we're looking at, whatever, the SEC schools, particularly early in the season, are playing trash teams? Like,
oh, I mean, if you, like, let's be real.
Playing
if you
Bowling get, Green or
if
whoever.
You get five games a week
yeah.
that you, like, I actually want to watch that right. game, that's a pretty good week.
Yeah, yeah. And so more good games is good. And then the other thing is, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. The other really good thing about this is you hope it puts an end to the Big Ten nonsense about having four guaranteed bids for the SEC and the Big Ten in the playoff. Because one of the Big Ten's big complaints was, well, hell, we're playing nine games. We're playing nine games. That's why we need the four assured slots. And the SEC can say what they want, but we're playing nine games. And the SEC's only playing eight games. And as long as they're only playing eight games, Tony Petitti said, he said, listen, with 18 schools and nine conference games, we were losing nine more games just to start the season.
Yep.
That's what he said. Well, that's gone now. That is gone now. And not only is that gone now, the truth of the matter is because the SEC is also mandating a 10th game against the Power Four team. You now look at the...
Well, they've had that mandate. The question was whether it was going to stick.
Right,
because the Big Ten
right.
doesn't.
Right, right.
The Big Ten requires you to play nine conference games, but not the...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Whether it was going to continue
yeah, exactly.
when you add the game. But because they are continuing together,
yep.
you now have, for example, like Cignetti, the coach at Indiana.
Yes.
And this was stupid because after the schedule they played last year, he should not have been at Big Ten Media Days mocking the SEC scheduling,
mm-hmm.
but he was because in response to a question about why they were no longer going to play non-conference Power Four teams, he said, oh, we're just going to adopt the SEC's easy scheduling, basically,
yep.
is what he said. Well, look at this. Next year, Indiana is playing the Big Ten schedule and Howard and Western Kentucky and Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of slaw, right? That's what.
Well,
that's
listen, Jeff, Colorado State's a school on the rise.
Right. So, the truth of the matter
is
kind
of fun.
You would hope this would put an end to that nonsense of the four guaranteed bids. And Greg Sankey again reiterated yesterday he was on the Finebaum.
Ooh, Jeff, their 2027 is way better.
What's 2027?
Kennesaw State, Indiana State, UMass.
That's what I'm saying.
Then let's roll it over into 20.
I just looked at 26. Yeah.
28 is Austin Peay, Eastern Michigan, Miami of Ohio. Then we have Ball State,
See?
Eastern Illinois, Western Kentucky. He does have a Notre Dame schedule game in 2030, so we're going to have to go ahead and get that bad boy canceled somehow, some way.
He's got to get another gig.
Yeah, or he's going to have to take another job.
He's going to have another gig by then. Now, the truth of the matter is that we may well learn that the Big Ten's interests here never really were about strength of schedule, but were about TV inventory and wanting those play-in games and that kind of stuff. But those are the things that are great. More good football games is great, and hopefully putting an end to this nonsense playoff scheme is great. I don't think it's great for Memphis. And then the other question is what will it look like? You're going to have the three annual opponents. You're going to continue to have no divisions in the SEC. You're going to have the three annual opponents. And one of the objections, there were objections on the part of the coaches because they just didn't want to do this. And then like Alabama. If it's Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee as their three, there's some competitive concerns depending on who your
permanent opponents
are. Now they're doing a look in every 4 years to revisit that. Do you have any other thoughts about the nine game schedule, the implications, all of that?
I mean, to me, it's like okay, yeah, if you have three tough or whatever, if your three permanent opponents are going to be tougher, well, that means the pool is going to be smaller from the other six, like. I don't know. Like, this schedules always tend to. This used to always be the big complaint back when they had divisions with permanent opponents. So I just think overall it's better because now when you have these big bloated conferences that we do now, I mean, you could go like 8 years without seeing a team.
Right.
This now cycles through them much more quickly. It's going to feel more like a conference.
Right. All right. Next one. You are among the throngs of people who are outraged that Cracker Barrel is changing its logo. Believe it
or not. I do not believe this because I have been finding myself laughing and wondering because on these very airwaves, back on a Fish on Friday on Tuesday, yes. I don't remember if it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, Charles broke the news to us that they were getting rid of the tee game and they were remodeling. Like he broke
the tee game,
the golf tee game.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, like
right.
We
a long time ago, Fishman talked to us about how they were going to. They're changing their image.
Correct.
They're making a little less cluttery. Cracker Barrel has decided to be a little less cornball-y.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been brewing for a long time.
Right. I think the first stories I saw were like back in May.
I don't think we knew. I didn't know until yesterday, till the stories broke, that they were changing the logo. Now, the logo, as you, some of you are familiar with the logo, it's an old man.
On the chair.
Old timer. Uncle Herschel. And he's sitting on a chair, and yep. He's leaning against a barrel.
Yep.
And they're ditching the old man, and they are just, it really is just the words Cracker Barrel in a same coloring, but in a logo that looks inside of a thing that looks like a barrel. It's a sideways barrel.
Yep.
Right? It's clean. It's boring. Right?
But I think it's definitely a downgrade.
I think it's a downgrade. According to a company press release, the new logo is still anchored in Cracker Barrel's signature gold and brown tones and, quote, now rooted even more closely to the iconic barrel shape and word mark that started it all. So there you go. This did not go over well. Cracker Barrel shares.
I think they're down like $100 million.
12%.
Yeah.
12% because of the logo. Here's Cracker Barrel. Our values haven't changed, and the heart of soul of Cracker Barrel hasn't changed. Uncle Herschel remains front and center in our restaurants and on our menu. He is the face of the Herschel Way, the foundation of how our 70,000-plus employees provide the country hospitality for which we are known. Cracker Barrel has been a destination for comfort and community for more than half a century, and this fifth evolution, that's the point they're pointing out. This isn't the first time we've changed. This fifth evolution of the brand's logo, which works across digital platforms as well as billboards and roadside signs, is a call back to the original and rooted even more in the iconic barrel shape and word mark that started it all back in 1969. I do wonder, and I thought about, you know, my brother's professor of marketing at Northwestern. I thought about consulting him about whether this is just insanity to have ticked people off like this. Now, there are people who are saying it's woke. I really don't understand what is woke about the current, it's boring and it's abandoning the uncle, the old dude. I don't understand how there's anything that's either woke or progressive. It's just a mark.
I mean, it is definitely a stretch.
Is it woke because they got rid of an old white guy?
I think that's
why you'd say it's
correct.
Woke, but they didn't like, it's not that they added, it's not, you know, two lesbians at hanging out at
the
Cracker Barrel.
Hang in there. Could be.
It's really not. I'm telling you, it's literally just a barrel.
Well, we don't know.
They could be inside the barrel.
Exactly. You'll never guess this, but do you know who has invested in Cracker Barrel recently?
Who?
A private equity firm.
Private equity has recently invested in Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. All right, so there we go. Jackson Dart, the next John Elway. Believe it
or not. I don't think Jackson has that kind of arm. I mean, Elway really did. Like, peak Elway had an absolute howitzer. I don't know. I found myself, like, excited. Like, I know he's not going to start this year or not going to start the season, and I don't really want him to. But I did find myself going, like, all right, let's. The sooner we turn the page.
Excited about last night.
The sooner. Well, the crowd. It's a preseason game. The crowd was really into it.
So Giants crushed the Pats 42-10. Pats, by the way, it not only wasn't Drake May, it wasn't Josh Dobbs, it was a man named Ben Woolridge.
No, Logan. I thought it was Logan Woodside.
Was it? And then Ben. Was it? Or was it Logan Woodside the whole game?
I thought there was a lot. Because Logan played for. Logan was like a backup for.
Look at the box score. See who they were. Yeah. Anyway, so you got what they then called themselves, the three amigos. You got Jackson Dart and Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito. All three played well. They were celebrating together, calling themselves the three amigos. This would make Russ.
No, you're right. Ben Woolridge. So Woolridge played at Lafayette.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with his work.
Yeah.
But that's who they were going up against. And they were thrilled, the Three Amigos. Is Russ not one of the Amigos?
Seems to not be an amigo. Russ doesn't like fun.
He doesn't like fun.
So I would presume he's not one of the Three Amigos.
He's like the anti-Jameis Winston.
Correct.
Jackson Dart, 6 of 12, 81 yards. Did have a, he got his bell rung.
Jeff.
Should have slid.
No, lost his breath.
Lost his breath. That's what they said. They did say, in fact.
I like that one. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and use that one.
But for the preseason, 32 of 47, 372 yards. And you think I just came up with John Elway by chance? No. There is a column in USA Today today that compares him to John Elway. Mike Freeman. I'm not saying he's John Elway, but he reminds me of a young John Elway. I've tried to stay calm, but in watching Dart, which is, of course, silly. You're right. John Elway was a physical.
Yes.
He was like the Josh Allen, John Elway thing is more accurate, is more of a thing there because he's just such a.
Yes.
And the arm was. But anyway, here we go. I've tried to stay calm, but in watching Dart closely this preseason, you see in him what you do with young players who eventually become good in the NFL or great. There's a comfort Dart displays that is almost uncanny. Doesn't get rattled. Looks like he's been in the league for years. It was clear that Dart was a good athlete. We saw that in college, but many times athleticism doesn't translate into the pros, even in the preseason. But hoo boy, is it translating for Dart. And on we go. There is Dart mania in New York.
Yeah, and like this is kind of like the bummer because it's like how long are they going to have to wait to actually see him?
Well, you'll see him this year.
I think so.
Yeah, you're going to see him this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would presume, but I mean, like,
this is the ticket.
Their schedule
this is their ticket.
Okay, the schedule is hard. What happens, though, if this defense actually is good? Like, I'm not actually buying in, but we do see teams all the time that, you know, what if half of those.
What if they hang around?
Exactly.
What if they're fighting in that. You're going to want them to lose early games.
Yeah, I would like a 2-6 start.
Other games in the NFL the only other game in the NFL last night, Steelers beat.
There was some really bad football on the screen last
this
night.
This game, of all the preseason games, the one that is directly before the regular season starts is the most ridiculous. We had Ben Woolridge playing quarterback for the Pats. We had Jack Plummer.
Yep.
And Bryce Perkins.
Not Jake, Jack.
You know Bryce's work?
Bryce was at UVA. Plummer was like one of the three quarterbacks
is he
at Purdue.
Son of Jake?
I don't think there's
no
actually,
relation.
I don't think there's actually any relation.
Because Bryce Young didn't play and Andy Dalton's hurt, and so you had Jack Plummer and Bryce Perkins playing for the Panthers. And the truth of the matter is people just sit out everybody unless I mean the Titans aren't gonna tonight, they're gonna play Cam Ward because they just want to get reps or whatever. But generally, and the reason you do it is you look at the Steelers game. Derek Harmon, who was the 21st pick in the draft, he was the defensive tackle from Oregon, and he's looked tremendous. I'm deeply envious. The Bills' first-round pick, Max Harrison, is hurt, and he wasn't good before he got hurt. And all of a sudden, I look around everywhere, and the Chiefs have a first-round pick who's crushing it. The Steelers have a first-round pick who's crushing it. The Eagles have first-round picks who are crushing it.
Well, we can't compare ourselves there. That's just not fair.
And then you got Derek Harmon, who has been great. And what happens? He's carted off with a significant knee sprain. And so that's why you don't play. That's why you don't play anyone. You don't want to get anyone hurt the week before the season begins.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've never known like what the right balance is because I also think these teams that oftentimes do not play anyone in the preseason, the first like 2 weeks are really slow. But, I mean, they are doing more of the joint practices.
Exactly. They do many more of the joint practices. Like for the Bills last week.
But like, are you any less likely to get hurt in that?
I think it's a little more controlled.
It is because they're probably not bringing them down to the ground. It's more what they would call thud them up.
You're starting to come around to my way of thinking, which is this Micah Parsons is not going to get a new contract by the first week of the season.
I do not believe that. You seen any action on the trade market? Everybody's just getting duped in by Jerry. He's got the Netflix doc coming out this week.
What do you
think
is going to happen?
We're going to find out on Thursday of the Eagles game that he's the highest paid defensive player.
You're sticking with that.
Yeah.
I've been sucked in.
I mean,
I've been sucked into
the closest I got. Was
I have now been
the people
sucked into
that were
bad blood. I'll say this: if there's a new contract, it's because he just. Maybe Jerry has me going here. I think if there's a new contract, it's because Jerry just is because Micah Parsons just folds and takes the contract that Jerry says was negotiated. He was on a podcast yesterday. Jerry Jones was, and he said he personally met, of course, with Micah Parsons.
Which, by the way, we did find out that's not allowed.
It's not allowed?
Nope. He has to meet with the agent.
Not allowed?
Yes.
Under?
He cannot, under the CBA, he's not allowed to negotiate with the player directly.
I just don't believe that to be true.
Florio's all over this. He's been able to get away with it because guys have always played the game with him, but it's not actually
allowed. Not
allowed?
I would imagine like it's like, I would have thought it was like, like if you're a suspect talking to a cop,
yep,
and you say, I want to talk to my lawyer, at that point, it's not allowed.
According to Florio.
So I would think it would be like, I want to talk to my agent. At that point, you're literally not allowed to, if you have represented, you're not allowed to do it.
According to Florio,
well, this is what Jerry Jones says what happens. When we wanted to send the details, because they negotiated themselves, between themselves, to the agent told us to stick it up our ass. This was on Michael Irvin's podcast. Jones added that he and Parsons had agreed to everything on his next contract, including term, total value, guaranteed money. The agent told him the two sides still needed to negotiate on the matter. Well, I already negotiated. This is Jerry. I already moved off my marks in several areas. So the issue, very frankly, is that we've had the negotiation in my mind. The agent's trying to get his nose in right now and come in here and improve the mark of what we already said. We got this deal resolved in my mind for the Dallas Cowboys. We've got it done, and if the agent wants to finish up the details, which sure, do all the paperwork, then he can do that. We're ready to go. But as far as the amount of money, the years, the guarantees, we've negotiated that. I have to say, on this particular point, Jerry is so full of it. Like, if the guy is represented, sure, even if it were allowed, I'll take your word for it. It's against what
literally Florio just wrote about it 5 minutes ago.
Really?
Yes.
So read me a little.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has made a largely nonsensical comparison of the Micah Parsons contract impasse to a kid trying to play mommy against daddy to get what he wants. The metaphor applies more logically in a related context. A kid who is misbehaving will keep doing it as long as mommy and daddy let it happen. Jones has repeatedly tried to negotiate contracts directly with players, even when the players are represented by certified agents. He does it because the NFL and the NFL Players Association allow him to do it. Jerry has been doing it for years. He makes no bones about it, and with no one ever telling him not to do it, he's only becoming more brazen.
Now, it still hasn't said it's not allowed in there. There's nothing in there that's saying it's not allowed. They, all, in fact, only say that they have allowed him to do it. It's never said in there that they have not that it's not allowed.
He wants to bamboozle a player who may not even realize a negotiation is happening and then print it up and have the agent and the player sign it. In Jones's mind, the agent is a bystander, and that's baloney. The league should have told him to stop doing it long ago. The union should have filed a grievance over it long ago. If the NFLPA wants to reestablish credibility with the rank and file, one way to do it would be to stand up to Jones and submit the appropriate paperwork challenging his effort to get Parsons to finalize a contract that his certified agent didn't negotiate. And if the NFL truly cares about the integrity of the game, God, he's cooking, and everything associated with it, the league will tell Jones to stop doing it before the union files and wins a grievance regarding his disregard for the collective bargaining agreement.
It really is never, just sort of at the end, talks about disregard and wins, but he never actually comes out and says, this is against the collective bargaining agreement. Never says those words. But anyway, either way, it's total BS. Like, in the end, it is Jerry saying an agent's going to screw me. I don't want to deal with the agent. And he doesn't respect the fact that he has an agent. And that's total BS. It is total BS. And now he's acting like Micah Parsons is the bad guy because he wanted his agent to do the job that he hired his agent to do. It's Jerry is 100% in the wrong here.
Yeah.
But he seems to be. Now, this is why I'm thinking that it's not going to get a new deal. He seems to be really dug in on this wrongheaded position. Still think he's
this is all? It's all the circus. Let's get him talking about the Cowboys.
Buc-ee's is getting to be overexposed and overrated.
I vehemently disagree, and do not believe this. I this is one of those ones where people have started this movement, and I think it's just so like blatantly wrong that I don't even have time for it.
Well, I literally on this one I actually ask because the latest Bucky's news is that now if you go to Texas A&M, Bucky's is going to be handling the, you know, the store where students can buy and get their snacks and stuff, right? There's going to be
on-campus stuff, yeah.
On campus, the first on-campus Bucky's at Texas A&M. And I get, I literally think I've never been to a Bucky's.
So then
I'm not commenting. I'm not mm-hmm. going to say there's no way that I could say it's overrated when I've never been to a Bucky's. That would be irresponsible of me. I would never say that. The euphoria over Bucky's, though, and the mania over Bucky's is such that it better be damn special to live up to. Don't you think it is getting over the last year and
I've
a half?
I've never seen a retail operation as impressive as Bucky's, ever.
I got to say, I went to a Jennifer Valley, the official sex therapist mm-hmm. of the Jeff Calkins show. She had a party over the weekend, and it was a back-to-school themed party, but for adults, right? So you're supposed to bring snacks that you would
eat in school.
Like after-school snacks and whatever. Like that was the theme, was to bring something. And of course, you know, I thought about, what did you eat as a back-to-school snack? You came home, what did you have as a back-to-school snack? Back from school.
Obviously, like the timing matters, snack. But like I would hammer Goldfish.
Goldfish.
Yeah. And then when Flavor Blasted Goldfish came out, like that
there
was an
eye-opening
experience.
One woman who brought crackers and potted meat because that's what she had.
Yeah.
She come home from school.
Vienna sausages.
Whatever. And she got potted meat. This is stuff that was, this is the age where you're not picking it yourself.
Right.
Where you're given it.
Bagel bites would have been huge.
Your mom makes you something, whatever else.
Pizza rolls.
I at one point had fluffernutters. Do you know what a fluffernutter is?
I'm not familiar.
Fluffernutter is peanut butter and then fluff instead of jam, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but it would be peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. How's that for health? But anyway, I, of course,
is this any better than Uncrusted?
Being the person that I am, I thought about this. I thought about making something. I thought about what I could conjure as an after school. And then I finally said, I'm just going to go to Chick-fil-A and get nuggets.
Yeah. Right?
Now, they were clearly not my after-school snack.
Right.
We didn't have Chick-fil-A, and as we've established on this show before, I grew up in a time, ladies and gentlemen, when we didn't have chicken fingers and we didn't really even have chicken nuggets.
McDonald's, there was only bone-in.
There was only bone-in. You had to eat a bone-in whatever. Piece of. There was no snack-shaped chicken when I was growing up, so I was deprived. But I drove through the drive-in at the one here, right here on Poplar. I swear to God. You look, and it took a little longer because I wanted a third each tray or something, whatever. So I was sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
It is such a machine. And they must have had 18 young people.
Just taking orders.
Carrying it out. I was on the pickup side when I started to really notice this. The pickup delivery is like, a lot of these places have one or two people who would bring you food, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. These people have... There were, I swear to God, 18 of them. It's incredible operation.
Well, I mean, think about it. At every other fast food restaurant that you go to,
unbelievable.
Almost all of them tell you at some point, can you please go park and we'll bring the order to you?
Yeah.
Never happens at Chick-fil-A.
So,
Bucky's is more impressive than Chick-fil-A.
But Bucky's is, and why is it so impressive?
Square footage is incredible.
Okay, it's massive.
Correct.
Walmart's massive.
I know, but the difference between Walmart and Bucky's is I can go to one aisle and find half of the store is not merchandised properly. In Bucky's, there's never an item out of place. It's unbelievable. And then on top of that, like, think about this. Have you ever seen a fight happen at Bucky's? You know, viral videos, everything. Never happened.
Everyone's so happy.
Yes. Gas stations, trucks.
What's the closest Bucky's to us? The real problem, I think, is there is a Bucky's right on 40, but it's by the time I get, either if I'm leaving or I'm getting here, I need a Bucky's
it's
2.5 hours away.
What's the tease with that one is, I would presume you see it when you go to visit Andrew. Because it's on the other side of Chattanooga. And so like when I go and cover a football game, I see the sound, I'm like, ooh, Bucky's. And then I realize like, no.
We don't have a Bucky's that's conveniently located for us to go to, do we?
So I'm not sure if the closest one is. There's two in Mississippi, I think.
I'm late to it. We're late to get to Jason as we sit here trying to. It's BUCC-EE. Is that what
correct?
It is? Bucky search nearby. 217 miles, Leeds. That's Alabama.
So like I think that's.
And then there's one in Adairsville. Where's that?
I think that's the Tennessee one. Is that the one on the other side of Chattanooga?
Adairsville. That one's 5 hours and 37 minutes away. The one in Leeds is 3 hours and 35 minutes.
I think that's
away.
Somewhere around Birmingham.
Yeah, that's Leeds is on the way to. Yeah. Anyway. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Jason Smith on the other side. Then we got Chris Harrington. And then we've got Jeffrey's bets. He's going to make you money. He's got my crisp $100 bills all set to deploy. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined by Jason Smith. Jason, I got to do a leader spot here. And I have not signed one of my kids up for a account at Leader.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because my kids are too old for this, right? They don't get money in exchange for their grades anymore. How does it work with y'all?
Future Leader Savings Account. We get the bonuses for perfect attendance and A's, and we do it every quarter. And so that's the way Chris's school is. They go every quarter, and so it's a nice little perk. And yeah, man, that money's growing at a nice little rate. And he's got certainly more in his account than I did as a sixth grader.
I do think that, you know, we teach our kids all kinds of things. I do think to teach kids how to deal with money is something that is significant. And so it's another thing Leaders does. I use Leaders for regular old banking. And we've recently been talking to them about a mortgage, and they're fabulous. To learn more about Leaders and everything they do, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. So I've avoided, I tried to filibuster a little bit here because your Bears really took it out on my Bills. Yep. Destroyed my Bills. Caleb looked great. What'd you take from that pummeling?
Well, and then you dodged this Monday, didn't you? Yeah, because you got a guy.
That's exactly right. And then I was supposed to be on your show Monday, but I am coming on today, I gather. John reached out, and I'm coming on today.
And I appreciate, you know how much I appreciate that. I appreciate you putting the unprofessionalism of John to the side and coming on. But I am glad you're addressing it now. I'm more curious what you thought Because again, as I will say it right up front, those were your twos and threes and fours. But Caleb marched right down, didn't he? He was on script. He was doing the things that you want to see, this raising of Caleb Williams that Ben Johnson is doing. I really like it.
It's funny. It's one of the interesting things is very clearly preseason games are meaningless. And yet,
meaningless.
It is still no fun to watch your team get pummeled, even in the and it does leach into thinking about maybe they're not that good. And I'll say this. This is what I've always thought about the Bills. Except for Josh Allen, they are a pretty mediocre team.
You got a good running back.
I think the other elite players, I think he is a top 10 running back very clearly, maybe a top 7 running back. I think James Cook is an elite player. And I think their offensive line as a whole is an elite offensive line, although they don't have a top 5 player there, but they've got a bunch of good ones. Spencer Brown's a really good right tackle. They got good tackles, period. But and this is one of the things that happens, I think, and it's one of the reasons that I'm impressed by what the Eagles do every year, or what the Ravens do every year. When you are drafting that late in the draft every single year, it gets harder, you know?
And so I think
your twos and threes probably make sense that your twos and threes aren't that great, you know? And so but of course I'm a natural worrier. I worry about the Bills all the time. And now Tre'Davious White is hurt and he wasn't good anyway. He was washed anyway. They got problems at corner. They got problems at safety. They got the Ravens in week one. Never mind that. I was glad to see some hope on the part of
the
Bears
about.
And Caleb Williams. Because that was.
I mean, and the other good thing, I mean, you've got a division where, what, you look at maybe the Patriots and you say, okay, maybe in a year or two I've got to worry. I mean, just with your ones, when you look at what's beneath you with the Jets resetting, the Patriots, I mean, with Vrabel now, with what they, you know, Drake May, he certainly looks like the real deal. But that's not now. And then, you know, and then with the Dolphins, they're an absolute mess, especially
Dolphins
when it gets cold. They're a finesse team. And so that's the other thing you got going for you is that your ones are just so far out ahead of everybody else in that division.
Right. The Jets
aren't
really trying
yet. You don't have to play them. Yeah, you don't have to play them. But, yeah, good to see Caleb play the way he did. Hopefully we see it again tonight against KC, who – just weirdly, they play all their starters every game just a little bit. And what are they? They win Super Bowls or lose Super Bowls, but they always make it. So, whatever.
So, listening to the conversation on your show earlier this week, particularly about, you know, the FedEx stuff and whatever else. But what it often seems to come down to, particularly for John, and maybe I can talk more about this when I'm on with you all today. And I'm not saying it's pitting basketball against football, but it is true. You know, it's just like when there was a certain pot of money that could either go to the Grizzlies or the University of Memphis. There's that pot of money, and it's, you know, until Fred stepped up, it wasn't a bigger pot of money. And the money, and so the Grizzlies and the University of Memphis don't want to be pitted against each other, but it sort of is inevitable. And in the end, when there's so much money for revenue sharing, or there's X amount of money for revenue sharing or for NIL, whatever you want to call it, now it's revenue sharing. Every dollar that goes to basketball is not going to football, and every dollar that goes to football is not going to basketball. So they're kind of naturally pitted against each other. John seems deeply offended that football is getting a larger share. Now, we don't actually know the numbers about how much football is getting versus basketball or whatever. Do you share the – like, where is your level of a confidence that they are spending their money, the money that they have, that they are spending it the right way?
I think you have to. You know, Ed didn't have to say it, and I think for folks that have – and in a weird way, I think – what is John, 33, 34 years old? Y'all were talking about that earlier. He's still a young man. But I think in a weird way, he represents sort of the – you know, the
–
I'm not going to – he does. And part of it, and I said this directly to his face, is the folks he's talking to. Let's be real. John's plugged in. He talks to basketball people. And some of those folks, like I said to him, I think have always sort of had that, man, y'all have tried to do this before. You know, put football before basketball. It's never worked, whatever else. And that's just been it's unnatural to go the other way here. We know, I said it with Jeffrey. It's against the grain, and it's been against the grain in terms of the way college athletics work. But it's the way you have to go now. Ed didn't have to come out and say it, but he's also been a guy who, you know, has said, you know, he said it, whether it's we got to get in the ACC or the Big 12. I mean, I think he put Big 12 first, obviously, with the offer. That's where that was the priority. But the point is he said,
what may be rubbing some of the old guard the wrong way, or maybe they haven't fully come around on this idea of putting everything into football. It's not everything. Basketball isn't just going to go by the wayside here. But we do know, we've compared, if you've got between 4 and 5 million each year to pay the cost for a roster in college basketball, that's probably not going to help you, going to get you to the national championship level expectations that you've had. Whereas, an increased level of investment, whatever that number is, Jeff, because we don't know exactly what it is, but that increased level of investment over on football, where, oh, by the way, that's your building, can get you very realistically in a college football playoff. And so, not to mention, there's the whole other conversation of football drives the bus in terms of realignment. It's certainly ahead of basketball. There's also your history. Basketball being the thing that drives the cart has never gotten you there. It's never lifted you up. So you have to try a different way. You're primed to do it. Fred certainly seemed to understand it in terms of this NIL deal that he made with the majority going to football, that we've got to lock in here and really maximize what we've got on this side. And so, Ed didn't have to say it, but you do still, and I think this is a great way to sort of round off the conversation, you still have people to convince right there within your own program, boosters, donors that, again, have been basketball first. Those folks that John Martin's talking to, you got to convince them, and to do it, you got to say it. So this is all, Ed's never run away from that, and I think that's where you've got to be right now.
I mean, the argument on behalf of basketball is that you compete at a different level in basketball, so let's spend the money where we can be a national contender. That's the argument has always been the argument on
behalf of basketball. Yeah, but what's it going to – but are 18,000 going to be down there again? And again,
No, right.
What's the payoff there if it's not getting you regular
going
runs?
Going to Sweet 16 is fun, as opposed to.
And it's getting harder to do, right? It's getting harder to do, and will be even harder with the conference that you're in, Jeff, because you get nothing out of that. Look how Penny's beating himself up trying to put together this monster non-conference because he has to. But there's nothing for you there in conference. So how does that get you the high seed to lead you to the runs over and over again? You got to go. What do you have to do? You got to go 10-3 every year and against the fourth toughest schedule in the country, non-conference schedule in the country. That's hard to do. That's hard to ask of your program every year and say, Penny Hardaway, go do this every single year, or whoever the coach is going to be. That's holding basketball again to an expectation that I think where we clearly are is an expectation that you now clearly have to hold football up to, that you have it.
We agree on that.
To this point.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you could say invest it all in basketball. That's essentially what you've done. But also, it's in a building that you, if we're talking math, it's in a building that you don't, that's not yours. Now this one's yours. The renovations are going into your place.
Yeah.
You've got to have the best product you can have.
How do you, looking at that schedule now that we see all the dates attached to it, how do you feel about that non-conference schedule?
It's amazing that he can do this year after year. It's a credit to Penny where he's built the program, because you're not getting a Scott Drew to come to Memphis first if a loss to Memphis is going to bury him in terms of his hopes for seeding and everything else. You've built it up to a level. Now it is. That's where the story should start. And Penny can go out and get these games. And thank goodness Scott Drew's coming in here, because it does. It gives you a very valuable sort of feature home game in a great non-conference schedule. Right now, six of the teams are projected to go to the NCAA tournament. Last year, you faced seven in the 13. And so it's comparable. It's a credit to Penny that he can do this every year. He has to do it. But I think the respect that he's earned in college basketball is how he can do it. Because unlike with a Memphis football, for like you guys talked about with the SEC in the future there, whether they might schedule you, where one of those SEC teams, boy, you take a loss to Memphis, that kills us. We're not going to schedule them. Penny's built it to a point where, no, let's take Memphis. We lose to them. That's a good loss for us. And so
and particularly given that I do think football, it's going to be hard to bring – premier opponents into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. It's
no question
that Penny can still bring them premier opponents into FedEx Forum. Jason, thank you much. Appreciate
it. Thank you, brother.
That's Jason Smith. And I will, every single day from 11 to Jason and John, and I will be joining them, I gather, today as well. We're going to take a break. Chris Harrington on the other side. And then Jeffrey's going to help you invest your money. It's that time again. Yep, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.